Okay, good morning. We're up to Parak Mem Beis, towards the very end. Okay, we're up to Pasuk Yud Aleph. Okay, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayavo Elof Kol Echav V'chol Ach Yosav V'chol Yoidav L'fonim. That now that Eve has recovered after this entire event, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to him. Eve says, I have comfort, I have charata, I have a pasuk back in Perek Mema, pasuk Vav. The keywords are, Al Kain Emas V'nichamti Al Ofar V'efer. So that pasuk really said it all, where Eve acknowledges that he made a mistake. He was critical of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the wrong reason. He now accepts HaKadosh Baruch Hu's comfort, and he asks charata. HaKadosh Baruch Hu then tells his friends, that they shall bring to him korbanos. He shall offer, or the korbanos shall be offered in his presence. And Eve, they ask forgiveness from Eve. Eve prays as mispal on their behalf, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu restores his shavus, his captivity. And Vayayisa Hashem es kol ha'shel Eve l'mishne. Now, one thing that's very interesting is it does not actually say that he was healed. Okay, it doesn't say that anywhere. All it says is that his wealth and his children were restored. His wealth and his children were doubled than it was before. It does not say anywhere that he was physically healed. Maybe the pain came to an end, but his body, because when we learned the Pesukim, Eve mentioned many times that his flesh has decayed to the point where it's impossible, Pliderech HaTeva, that he can be healed, he can be restored to his youth, he can be restored to his physical strength. And indeed, it does not say that anywhere that was the case. It could very well be that Eve was still in this state, homebound, or his physical health was not that great, yet he lived for another 140 years. He still lived for a long period of time, but does not mean that he was strong, he was physically sound like he was in the past. The only thing that it says here, things that are not personal to him, his children and his assets, those things were restored. So now Pasuk Aleph says, after everything was restored, Vayavo Elof Kol Echav V'Chol Ach Yosav, his brothers and his sisters, V'Chol Yoidav, and all of those, his friends, Lefanim, that were friends to you before this event, this whole story happened, before he lost his health and he lost his assets, they all returned, Vayachlu Imo Lechem, they ate with him bread, Beveso, in his home, Vayanudu Lo, and they bent their head towards him. They tilt their heads towards him, Vayinachamu, so they gave him comfort, Al Kol Haro'o Asher Hevi Hashem Olav, concerning all of the Ra that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought upon him. They now express their sorrow, and they will mechazik him at this point in time. And Vayidnu Lo'i, they saw that now he was turning over a new leaf. Things were changing on his behalf, things were getting better. Vayidnu Lo'ish Kisita Echos, each one of them gave him a kisita, is a piece of silver. Kisita is a small piece of silver, it's a maw, it's the smallest silver coin that they used in ancient times. V'ish, and furthermore, each person in addition, they gave him a kisita, nezem zavechad, each one gave him a gold nose ring. Okay, so let's take a look at all these things one thing at a time. Let's first take a look at the mitzudos, pasuk Yud Aleph. V'chol yadav lefanim. It says here at this point in time, all of the friends that he had from his youth, from the previous days, they come to visit him. Oyhavav makirav ashohayu lo lefanim tenem bo lov hayisurim. The friends, his friends that, his acquaintances that used to visit and frequent him before he suffered, they now return. Ki be'ez shahoyo miyusar. Now here's what Mitzuda says, because at the time when he had his yisurim, chodlu mimenu oyhe vereya, they stayed away. Kimash Amar, like it says, like Eve himself said in Perek Yates, V'yoid'i ach zaru mimeni, my friends, they have distanced themselves, they have scattered from me. When they saw that Kadosh Baruch Hu has brought upon me the Yisurim, they took it as a sign that I'm an evil person, and they removed themselves from me in order that they, it should not become contagious, that Kadosh Baruch Hu should not strike them down. Vayochlu, they ate, l'smoyach imo be'eis shavl shavuso, they ate with him to rejoice, to celebrate that his children have been restored. Lechem, kol suda kri al shem halechem, they ate meals. Vayonudulo, vayonudulo means they would bend their head, they would bow. They bowed in front of him. What does that mean? Hayu manidim olav beroshem, they would bow their heads. Kederch shemenachamim es adam, achar shenitzal mitzaros, just like we give comfort to a person after, this is a type of comfort, this is not comfort mentioned in the beginning of the Sefer. There it says exactly the same expression. They bent their heads towards him. That was when he was experiencing his tzara, at least the three friends. When Eev first suffered the great loss, they came to give him comfort at the time of his tzara. Here they're coming to bow their heads after he has overcome the tzara. Kederech shemenachamim es adam achar shenitzal mitzara, so after he's been spared from the tzara, vayenachamu also b'divrei tanchum, they spoke words of comfort. Ish kol ish v'ish nasan lo l'daron kisita, each one gave him a silver coin. For inyan hayras chiba yisera, this is an expression of love. Giving a silver coin is an expression of love, which we'll come explain in a few moments. Let's take a look over here at the Rashi. First pasuk Gid Aleph. Rashi says, "Lefanim kol asher hayu oyavav makirav b'teren higir lov hayisurim." The friends, that people that he considered friends before he suffered, they now came. They came when he recovered. They came vayenudulo lo shon. Okay, I don't know what this word is. Some old French word, which means I guess they bowed their heads. Each one gave him a kesita. Kesita is a ma'a. A ma'a is a small silver coin. The ish. Now the reason why it says in the pasuk the ish twice. So Rashi explains, don't make a mistake and think that when people came to visit him, they had a choice. At the door, either you give a silver coin, or you give a gold nose ring. That's not the way it works. The reason why it says in the pasuk Gdav the word ish twice is to indicate that the very same person that gave him the silver coin also gave him a gold nose ring. Each person gave Eiv two gifts, a gift of silver and a gift of gold. The ish v'chol echad v'echad, each one gave him both gifts. Ratzalaymar, shaloi taymar, don't make a mistake and think shakavana, the kavana is sheyesh. Some gave him silver, and some gave him a gold nose ring. No, don't make that mistake. Each one gave both. That's why Rashi says the ish, meaning the repetition of the word ish. Perushai kol echad v'echad, each one of them gave him, each one gave him a, I'm not sure what that Rashi stands. I think it's one of the names of the Rishonim. May Harabenu, I'm not sure that Zion. What? No, I don't think it stands. Reish is a Zion. Mem Hei Reish Zion. Marenu Harav. Yes, I'm not sure that stands for. Okay, that's who's in there. So each one gave him both of these things. Now, there are a few interesting things I want to just point out. When I read this, I was taken aback. I was very like, wow. Eve actually was receptive to the people that abandoned him. See, if it was me, I wouldn't have been such a nice guy. I wouldn't have been such a nice guy. If a person has friends, and then when things are not going well, when you declare bankruptcy,
fair weather friends.
What are they called?
Fair weather friends.
Fair weather your friends. And then when there's a storm, when things are not going so well, when you declare bankruptcy, all of a sudden they don't know who you are. They disappear. They're gone. So those type of friends, with friends like that, who needs enemies? So then when the person's fortune is restored and things are good, if it was me, I would say, no thank you. I don't need your mishloach manos, I don't need your birthday cards, I don't need your New Year's cards. It's okay. I know the type of like friends like these, who needs enemies? Like this is not a real friend. Yet it just goes to show here that Eve's nature, he was a very good person. Eve was willing to forgive and forget. That's what you have to say on a very simple level. Maybe there's something deeper here. I'm sure there is something deeper here, but on a very simple level, Eev here, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Eev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mechnachim, he was such an up, he was so uplifted by the experience, he was willing to overlook and willing to turn over a new leaf and give people a new chance. Which says quite, but there are Mamari Chazal that say things like this. They say that Klal Yisrael, I mean, it's very hard for us to understand. They say that when Mashiach will come, Klal Yisrael will be so uplifted, will be so elevated by the experience of the coming of Mashiach and the return of the Shekhinah and the Binyan Beis Hamikdash, will be able, I don't know what this means, to look at the Goyim without wanting to destroy them. It's hard for us to imagine. How can you go look at Nazi Germany? How can you go look at the Dal and Malchios, what they've tried to do to us, to go look at the Palestinians? How could you possibly be willing to negotiate or forgive? It's not shaykh for us to understand this. But yet, Chazal, there are a number of Mamari Chazal, the Beis HaMsukim in Tehillim, I don't remember the Psukim offhand, is that we will be so uplifted by the experience of Mashiach, it'll put us in a different frame of mind which we are incapable of relating to in time of Golis, and it will be a different world. Okay, whatever, and we'll be able to deal with the Goyim in a way that we now cannot even begin to fathom. So you see that is true to some degree here with regard to Eev. Eev, his friends abandoned him. They abandoned him when they needed him, when he needed them most. And now Eev is willing to take them back. I once heard, L'Havdil Elif Alfi Avdos, I once heard, either I actually heard the interview, I don't remember, or I read it, but I read an article. I once told this to you before about Bush, President Bush W. And Bush W said that, he said that at this stage in his life when he was president, there's no such thing as acquiring new friends. The only friends, they asked him, who are your friends? So he said, the only friends that I have are the friends of my youth. Because now, when I'm the president of the United States, anyone that tries to befriend me, it's only because they want something from me. It's not possible. It just doesn't exist. That's the way it is. So who can I say is my friend? People who were close with me when I was a nothing. When I was just a little kid, and at this point in my life, I'm not going to get new friends. It's too late. It's too late to acquire. So here, interesting, Eev, I don't know how you want to read that. Just this memory, this idea was triggered when I read this pasuk. Over here, Eev has friends. When he had friends, these were friends from his youth when he did not experience any, and obviously they probably also wanted something from him then because he was very wealthy, very successful, but it was before a very difficult period of time in his life. He went through this period of time and now he's receptive to take back these people from his youth, from his previous cycle in life, and be kind to them and accept. It's not just befriend them, he accepted their comfort. When they bowed their heads, he accepted it. He didn't turn his face. He accepted their comfort. That's also I mean, you know, we've all seen this. People go to Menachem Avil. Not everyone is interested in being comforted from certain types of people who they're not comfortable with. They're coming there for whatever reason, they're coming to pay a shiva call for whatever reason, but the people that are in a state of distress, they're not necessarily willing to accept comfort just from anyone. And here it says something quite a bit about Eev. Okay, another idea point I just want to point out is they gave him silver and gold. Silver and gold, there's a lot of this silver in Chazal. Gold is always symbolic of Midas Hadin. And silver always represents Midas Harachamim. Kesef is what Chazal called Kisufim. Kesef is Kesef, silver, but it's also can be it's the Sherish of Kesef, of the word Kisufim, which means longing, a yearning, an emotional feeling. Kisufim. Zohav, gold, is the idea of Midas Hadin, harshness. Here,
father-in-law gives you a gold watch, so you should condemn
them. Father-in-law gives you a gold watch to tell the son-in-law, your time is not yours. It's mine. Your time. You are my slave. You work for my daughter. You work for me. You work for my daughter.
Anyway.
Time is not yours. That's
you can do it on a silver watch. Don't
what?
Nah, gold watch.
A gold watch. Be generous. Be generous. A Rolex. What are the Rolex? Are they gold? Some of them are, right? Some of the fans. So each one gave him silver and gold, because here, because over here, and it's in noteworthy the order. First they gave him silver, then they gave him gold, which symbolically means that the Midas HaRachamim has prevailed upon the Midas HaDin. Rachamim is before Din. Eov suffered very much. He was subject to Midas HaDin, to harsh judgment. And now at the end of his life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing him more mercy. His children have been restored. His assets have been restored to some degree. We don't know exactly, but his health appears to some degree be restored. At least, even if his health was not restored, he is receptive to comfort. There's some degree of Rachamim. And the Rachamim has prevailed upon the din. So the kesita, the two were given, but the silver was given before the gold. It's a symbolic gesture. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has shown you rachamim. And what is this funny thing, giving a small piece of silver? I mean, what could you buy with a small piece of silver already? A kesita, what?
When you go to the Rebbe for a dollar.
Oh, exactly. It's like going to the Rebbe for a dollar. Like, you go, anyone ever go to the Rebbe for a dollar?
Mine did. Okay? Yes, I went once.
Once? I know. I never, when I was too little then, but my uncle, my grandmother, Allah HaShalom, was very sick. My uncle was in America, so he went to the Rebbe for a bracha. So he brought home the dollar, and the Rebbe actually wrote. He wrote on the dollar Esther. He actually, my grandmother's name was Esther. He penciled in Esther. And what did my uncle do with it? He had laminated with a picture of the Rebbe exchanged for George Washington. And what you're supposed to do is that you're supposed to, with almost someone, you're supposed to exchange it, right? Really, the Rebbe gave dollars. You should give the dollar to Tzedakah.
Oh, really?
That was the intent. The intent was the Rebbe gave you a dollar, and you're supposed to take the dollar and give the dollar to Tzedakah. But after a while, people, it was sacred. The Rebbe gave you this dollar. I'm not going to give this dollar to Tzedakah. So, but the whole point was lost. So he was supposed to take the dollar and he paid it on another dollar. You take out of your pocket another dollar and you say zetach hazeh, and you give the fashtungene dollar in your pocket. That you give to Tzedakah, and the dollar the Rebbe gave you, that you laminate, you hang up in the house. I still have it at home. I have a dollar at home.
I also changed it in Europe last century, in the 1800s.
Yeah.
You got a mafe, you got a silver
coin. Yeah, from who?
And when you collected enough for those things, you melted it down, you made a bender, and you say, this becher
came from the Rebbe.
Naseh, make it,
Wow. Really?
He made his own becher and he engraved his name. He was, I guess, autistic.
From what? Coins that he got from?
He took coins in Europe and he melted down a kosher. It all says on the kosher.
Wow.
And one that says Ari, it says his name Ari Roth, and then a couple of schnapps cups.
Unbelievable.
He was a cousin and a mile, that's what he was.
Okay, but I mean, we've all gone into stores. And behind the register is a dollar bill, a whole collection of dollar bills, $20. So right, we go to every pizza store, you'll find there behind the counter, you'll find $20 bills. Why? Obviously, there is a minhag. It's a mazel. It's a bracha. Bracha. It's a bracha v'atzlacha. So this has a makar. This, what you find in the pizza store on Avenue M, has a makar going back to Eov. Eov now is starting a new stage in his life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has healed, has brought him a salvation. He's starting anew, a fresh start. Everyone gave him a little coin. You can't buy very much. It's a silver coin. A ma is a coin that is a penny. It's the smallest coin, silver coin that was used in ancient times.
Smallest denomination.
And it was a symbolic bracha. You should have hatzlacha, you should have success. What is the significance of a gold nezem, a nose ring? Now today, we in our society, nose rings don't.
They still go.
But not among us.
Right.
Among us, you would not be mashadech with someone. You would not be mashadech if you heard that the girl is wearing. Someone reads a boy in Iceland, a boy in Lakewood reads a girl. Oh, this girl, she's a beautiful girl, she even wears a nose ring. I don't think the Lakewood boy would want to go out with her. And if they say about the mother that she wears a nose ring, I don't think it's going to go off too well either. In our society, nose rings are not... What? Even for the money, I don't think it's going to go off well. I don't know. Listen, people do a lot of things for money. I don't know. I can't tell you. But today in our society, I don't believe, maybe I'm mistaken, there are a lot of things out there. I don't think in our circles that nose rings go off well. However, in ancient times, this was very common among the Haredim. This was very common. Now, why? We have that by Matan Torah, by the Chero Egel. The Chet Egel, what did it say to them? They took off the nose rings, the earrings. The men had nose rings. Now here, by the way, in addition to what we think is detestable, a nose ring, we think about women. Here they're giving this to Eoiv, to a man. Okay, a man wore a nose ring. What is a man wearing a nose ring? It's so far into us. But the truth is that is the Iker. Jewelry for a man is a nose ring, for a woman as well. Why? Because it represents life. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, the pasuk says, "Vayipach be'apov nishmas chayim." Hashem blew in man's nostrils a breath of life. It's the makor of chayim. When a person sneezes, right? That's why there's a breath that goes through the nose in inhaling. Through the nostrils, that life comes and goes through the nostrils. It's life. When you wish a person, you should have a beautiful life, a life of success, a life of kavod. The way that it is symbolized is by buying a person, giving them a gold nose ring, because the nose is the makar of chayim. So you want to beautify life. Beautification of life is the nose. So here, they basically told Eov, L'chaim. Here we're giving you a little money. It should be a new start, a new start of success. And as far as your life and your health and everything from here on shall be beautified, it should be a beautiful existence. That's why they're giving him these two things, silver coin, and a gold nose ring. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Now the pasuk tells about his success. VaHashem berach es achadis Eov mereishisa. Hashem blessed his end more than his beginning. Now every time it says VaHashem, we had this before. There's a parallel pasuk Yud Beis, goes back to pasuk Yud. VaHashem, every time it says VaHashem, Chazal tells means VaHashem means VaHashem and his bezdin. Hashem and his bezdin means Hashem Yud Kivavke is midas harachamim. The bezdin is midas hadin. The midas harachamim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu prevailed upon the midas hadin. Berach blessed as Achadis Eov, the end of Eov, meaning that latter part of his life, Meirei Shiso, more than the bracha he received in the beginning of his life. Vayihila, what did he possess? He possessed Arboha Osra Elef Tzon, 14,000 sheep. If we go back to the beginning of the Sefer, okay, I may have lost the page, we'll see how much he had in the beginning. Eov describes his assets. Okay, if you go back to the very beginning, Perek Aleph, Pasik Gimel, Vahimikneo Shivas Alfei Tzon. He had 7,000 tzon. Here it says he has now Arbo, also Elef Tzon. Now he has 14,000 tzon. The Sheshes Alafim Gimalim. Here it says he had Shleshes in the Pasik Gimel in Perek Aleph. It says he had 3,000 camels. Now he has 6,000 camels. The Elef Tzemed Bakar. It says he has Vechamei Shmeo Tzemed Bakar. Now he has 1,000 Tzemed Bakar. And when it says in Pasik Gimel Vechamei Shmeo Asonos, it says here he has now Elef Tzemed Tzemed Bokar, the Elef Tzemed Bokar, the Elef Hatzonos. So here it says, now there's one interesting thing, once this pasuk forces us to look back, there's one interesting, I didn't see anyone talk about this, is, does not say here, Va'avuda Rabba, the Ode. Back in the Sefer, from the beginning of the Sefer, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Gimel, it says, in addition to having 7,000 tzoin and 3,000 gemalim, 500 tzimet bakar, 500 asonos, Pasuk includes, Va'avuda rabo me'od. Avuda means possessions. Okay, what does it say here in the Mitzudos? Toitzos ha'adama nikra avuda. The Mitzudos, this is subject to much controversy what this means, but the Mitzudos says avuda means produce of the earth. He had farms. He had real estate. He had land. He had agricultural possessions. Nikra avuda. Toitzos ha'adama nikra avuda ki al toitzit simcha ayidei avoida. The reason, because it brings forth sprout to avoida. Avuda comes from the word avoda, through toil, through pulling, through working with the animals, working the land, it produces produce. Shoiv de mecharisha. Okay, sira. So here it's just very interesting that it does not say this. It says Hashem berachas achris iav mei reishiso vayilo arba so elof tzayin v'sheish lovim gemalim v'elof tzemet bakar v'elof hasaynos. And what about the avuda rabba? It says there are a lot of animals. So what do you do with the animals? Did he actually work with the animals? Did the land produce produce? Doesn't say. So I don't really. I'm just pointing this out. It's something interesting. Is that
so many animals? Land, so
he couldn't plant it. So is that a mile or chasaran?
I don't know.
Is that issue? See, I don't know if we have. Yeah.
When he was a child, could have been slaves. He had many slaves.
So it could be other Rishonim. I don't have in front of me here a collection of all the Rishonim, but the Mitzudos very clearly says Avuda Rabba means.
That's
it means.
The word Eved.
No, but that could be another interpretation. The Mitzudos doesn't say that. At least the Mitzudos says it means agriculture. Yeah, could be possibly at slaves, not possibly. Now, the reason why this. Yeah. And what does it mean there? Slaves or agriculture? Okay, there's one thing I want to. A memory. Let me just show you an idea. I saw this vart, I think it was 2 weeks ago. Okay, Ramayevsky, where does it say Vayikana by Plishtim Yitzchak? Told us? Vayishlach? Chapter and verse? Chapter and verse? Okay, I found it. Okay, I found it, thank you. Parashas told us here, and I saw this. Okay, I'm going to try to recall from memory. I didn't prepare this, but I saw this word. It made an impression on me. It says here in Parashas told us, Perek, Chavav, Pasuk, Gidbeis, Vayizra Yitzchak, Biyaretz Ahi, Vayim, Sabashonahi, Neya, Sharim, Vayivarachim Hashem. He was very successful. Okay, very good. Let's go further. Vayigdalo Ish, Vayele Choloch Vigodel, Ad ki gadal ma'od. Okay, everything is going good. Two psukim indicating his great success. Pasuk yidalet. Va'yihi lo miknei tzad miknei vakar. Va'avuda rabba. Oh, and now it says va'yikanu oso pilishtim. It says now after the third pasuk describing his success, it says now the pilishtim were jealous. So I saw a question asked. I'll try to tie this in. Why would they? Did it take them to get jealous until he had miknei tzoyin or miknei vakar v'avuda rabba? Why weren't they already jealous of him when it says in pasuk yudeis when he planted vayimsa bashanahi mea sha'arim? He already had mea sha'arim. He had already stocks went up. More, he planted the produce. He could sell this in the market. He sees planting the fields, and the produce that the field yielded was 100 times more than he expected. 100 times more than the projected profit. Could you imagine today all the financial analysts, 100 times more than we have never heard such a thing. Okay, 100 times. Insider trading, 100 times more than we expected. No one's jealous. The Plishtim, you can live with us, right? The Plishtim. Nochamo. Then it says, Vayelech Yishol, Vayelech Cholech Vigodel, Ad Ki Godal Ma'od. They couldn't even, it was off the charts. Okay, the statistics, they didn't even have ways of measuring his success. It's just mind-boggling how. Were they jealous? No, they weren't jealous. No one's jealous. Selling 80 million apples, selling 80 million, planning to sell 80 million iPhones. iPhone version 6 coming out. They're contracting with their suppliers to get ready 80 million of them for the world market. Okay, ad God almost, what it means, 80 million? Okay? Weiter. No one's jealous. Everyone's very happy. The world is happy. All of a sudden, Vayiloi Mikne Tsoin, Mikne Vokar, Vavud Rabba, okay, those same exact words. Oh, Vayikanu Oisai Polishtim. So I saw the answer to this question. Okay, I hope I remember this correctly. The same exact question in, was it last week or was it 2 weeks ago? V'hoye Ekev Tishmu'un. Not last week, 2 weeks ago. Ekev Tishmu'un. Eis ha-mishpotim ve'elo shmartim v'asim osam. Let's go further. Okay. V'ahevecha v'rach 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 pri v'itcha v'yad mosecha. Hashem will bless you. D'goncha v'siroshcha v'yitzarecha. Then it says shkar. Here now, remember, here's the problem in this pasuk. Al ho adama asher nishba lavosecha lo seslach. So I don't remember where I saw this, but the question, I think I know where I saw it. I don't remember the name of the tzeba. I know what it looks like from my mind. I know where to find it. But the question is, why does it say al ho adama at the end of the pasuk when he said that? You know, if we were writing the pasuk, we would say Hashem. The will bless privit the fruit of your land, the ganicha v'sirochcha v'yitzarecha. That's the adama. I remember. Then it goes on. The shkar lefecha means your sheep, the ashrei sonecha. Okay, your cattle. Then it says al ha'adama. What's al ha'adama? So the ends, these two go together. Success, you know what real success is? Is when you have two different companies and each one builds off the other. Just to have animals, big deal. You have animals, very good. So you'll sell the meat, you'll sell the milk, excellent. You'll have land. You own real estate, you own karka, and the land is producing, income, produce, corn, wheat, barley, whatever it is, and you sell in the market. Very, very nice. There's nothing to get jealous of. You know what you get jealous? Is when you're able to take your animals, and you're able to, the animals will feed off the produce, or the animals will work the land and produce the yield. When you take two different commodities and you're able to integrate them and able to use one to the benefit of the other, that is called success. That is called bracha. So the pasuk over here says, Hashem will bless you. He'll give you fruit of the free vidcha children. Then he'll give you free ad mosecha. The earth will produce grain. Degoncha, siroshcha, v'yitzarecha, and then what else? Hashem will then give you animals, and the animals will live off your land. You're not going to have to pay a private contractor to feed shepherds to go and feed to take care of your animals. The shagar alofecha, the ashroi soinecha, will increase al ho'adama, upon the blessed earth that Hashem has given you in the beginning of the pasuk, when your assets are built one off the other. This idea is exactly why they were first jealous of Yitzchak after they saw he wasn't just blessed with one commodity or with another commodity. His bracha was he was able to take all of his commodities and work with them. Each one was a blessing to the other. So you go back in the Toldos. What?
Vertical integration.
Vertical integration. Okay, I'm not familiar. Not an economist or economics,
and
finance.
Any economics people in the house?
He's an economics person. Vayizra Yitzchak Beretz Ahi Vayimsa. Okay. Vayitzchak. That's what he always says. Be quiet. Rakefet always says, just nod your head. And let the ignorant ignorant pass for the wise. something along those lines. I don't remember the exact quotation. I think it's alluded to Va'avudu Rabba. Now that he had Miknei Son and Miknei Vakar, and they were able to eat, they were able to survive and be independent, like you said, vertical integration from what he had before, now was when they got jealous. That's when you get jealous of someone. That shows real hatzlach. It can just be, okay, so you have a good stock, so you invested well in one commodity. But when you, the chokhmah, to integrate, the vertical integration, one commodity against another commodity, that's true success, and that's why now they became jealous.
I think what Parshim say about Yosef and the famine in the seven years, that people were, Yosef was giving out food, and he sent back to his family with the food. He, in other words, people weren't concerned about giving food to the animals. They wanted to survive themselves. But Yaakov had enough for the, talks about the food and the animal. He had
even to give the food to the animals.
To feed all
combination,
the animals,
vertical integration. So I just want to point this out. I don't know if there's any meaning in this, but the Avuda Rabba alludes to this idea. Avuda means the earth. The earth is producing produce. And that is in combination together with the animals. In the beginning of Sefer Eiv, it says that Eve had both. He had the animals plus Va'avuda Rabba. The earth was producing produce. And then when you have both of them together, well, that's what it says in Parashas Ekev. That's what it says in the Bracha of Yitzhak. The both together is what really brings true success. Here, it doesn't say that. There's no mention of Avuda Rabba. There's only mention of animals. What?
Yitzhak and with Eov in the first case, those words Avuda Rabba triggered an Ein Hara and everything went downhill.
Uh-huh.
To tell you over here that it went.
Novel idea. Success.
Yeah, but that's that we know what that means.
Yeah, but
nobody worked it though. It doesn't have the yoke on
it.
So he had double the amount of animals. But is that really a bracha? Is that really considered to be the ultimate bracha when you're missing the Avuda Rabba that he had in the beginning of Sefer Eiv? Maybe having even a small amount, even half of what he would have had, and having the Avuda Rabba, the integration, the vertical integration, maybe that's considered to be even a greater bracha. So, what Hashem berachas acharis meirishi? So he had more at the end than the beginning. Maybe it only means in quantity, doesn't necessarily mean in quality, in something which can be, which would have an enduring, long term, lasting. You go talk to a financial advisor; they always know there are very a lot of the things that these financial advisors they tell you are things that are not obvious. It may sound very wise to invest in this one thing, but you have to think of the long term. The long term, there are complicated formulas, and based on our experience, you're much better off doing something which is not obvious. Here it seems obvious. Look at this, double the amount. My assets are double. But is it really double? Without the vertical integration, it may very well be that only for the short term it's not going to be something which can be sustained for the very long term. That perhaps is in the message that is lying here at the end of the Sefer. We have to really know what bracha is. Okay, now when talking about his children, let's go over here. The Rashi. Do we do the Rashi in the Mitzudos? Pasuk Yud Gimel. No, Pasuk Yud Beis. Let's see. Pasuk Yud Beis. Let's see. Pasuk Beis. Mary Shiso. In the Mitzudos, David. Mary Shiso. Yoiser may habracha more than the bracha sheberchu meoz bereishis yamav. The reishis here means the beginning of his life. We know the pasuk that Eretz Yisrael Kadosh Baruch Hu has breast the year me'achris shon me'achris hashana, right? This me'reishis shana. You always tell me this arachris me'reishis hashana arachris shana. In the beginning of the year, you always say this is going to be hashana, the year, and then when it comes to the end, Elul, you look back. did we really fulfill our great expectations? So here it says, here in this pasuk it says, Achris Iyov Mereshi. So he doesn't talk about the Hey Ayidi, it just says the end towards the beginning. Fine. Okay, Arbaasar, Kaf Ami Masha Yilom Me'os. Over here the Mitzuda says double what then he had from before, Masha Kosav Lamalov, Yes Hashem Lamishneh, double. Double in quantity. That's what it says. Okay, let's see. Rashi Pasuk Yud Beis Mereshi. So Yosem Mereshis Oishroi. So Rashi is the sole difference between Rashi and the Mitzudas. Rashi says the Mitzudas said it's the beginning of his life. Here it says the beginning of his wealth. The beginning of his wealth did not necessarily take place in the beginning of his life. It means whenever his wealth was at its high point. Now he had more at this point in time. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Now the word Shivana is an unusual word. Now if we go back to the beginning of the Sefer, he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. So, and it was seeming to following the pattern that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving him double, so where is it double? So the answer is, well, the word, if it really was only 7 boys, it would say Shiva, without the Nun. The Nun does not belong there. What is the Nun there? So that's why the Mepharshim tell us that it means 2 times 7. That's just it's a complex use of the word. Let's take a look at Pasuk Gimel Mitzudos. Shivana, Shnei, Pa'amim, Shiva, Kofal, Nima, Shahib, Rishayna, Shivana, the Nun means double than what he had before. Rashi, Shivana, Heim pa'amayim sheva. Okay, means twice, 2 times 7. Shtei shivi'yois, 2 times 7. Kamo shivu'ayim. Yaakov Avinu, he worked for Rachel and Leah. Shivu'ayim, shem shtei shivuos, 2 times 7. The other question was, he worked 2 weeks. Male shavuazos. So it's machlekes Rashi and Rabban. Does that mean fill the 7 days, sheva brachos? Or means another 7 years? Another work for me for another 7 years in honor of Rachel. But here, whatever we're saying in this pasuk, it means doubled 7. Now that's according to the Perush of Rashi and the Mitzudos. As we mentioned yesterday, the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says whenever there is a nun, whenever there is a nun in the middle of the word, that's equivalent to a hey hayidia at the beginning of the word. So the pasuk could really be read as vayilo hashiva vonim. Hashiva means the 7 sons. Who are the 7? His 7 original sons. The 7 children that were thought, presumed, to have died by this, the building collapsed upon them, were really alive. And for 1 year he was mourning over his 7 sons. Now he was discovered that they're really alive. So Hashem returned to him the 7 original sons that he wanted, that he longed for. So that is how the Ramban is chaylik on Rashi and the Mitzvahs as well. The one thing is interesting is that the daughters were not doubled. That l'choladeh. If you want to go according to
he said the mom makes a point to say that it was so beautiful that they had so
it was like it was double.
Right.
It was like so the, okay, it was like they were doubled. So if you want to learn that everything was doubled, this clearly is not a because they were so people desire them. Okay. So here we have, but on a very similar level, we have 14 sons and 3 daughters. The 3 daughters were not doubled. He called the first daughter Yemima, the Shem Hashenis Kitzia, the Shem Hashlishis Keren Hapuch. Now what's the significance of these names? Let's first see the Mitzudos, Pasuk Yudal and Mitzudos Sab, Vayikra, Ko'imer, V'yabonos Hayu Nichbulu B'dvar HaYoyfi. The sons were doubled in that there was just more, there were more sons, 14, verse 7. But the daughters, they had this only 3 daughters, but they were doubly beautiful. The Nikru B'shemos Al Shem Yoyfi, they will call by names to bring out their beauty. Yemima, what's Yemima? She had a countenance, a shine, a radiance, a natural radiance, just like the light of the day, the sun. Kitsia, the second daughter's Yaifi, was expressed in fragrance, that she had a fragrance, a natural fragrance. She did not need anything. Kitsia Reicha Hayanoidev, it overflowed with a pleasantness. Kitsia is the name of a fragrance. I don't know what it is, but it's some flower which produces a very beautiful fragrance. Shel Baisem of Baisem. Okay, Karen Apocho is the Maila of the third daughter.
Yeah.
Mara Kitsia? Pete Makaris. Okay, so there's a certain type of spice, which produces fragrance. Keren Apoch. What does it mean, Keren Apoch? It's a name of a stone. It's a name of a stone. Keren literally means a horn that is inverted. But over here, it's a code for a certain type of stone, Keren Apoch. Zoyar Hoyulo Keren Apoch. Now, that means there are three different types. Notice they're going from something that is less tangible to something that is more tangible. The first child, the beauty, was something which is, or light. Can you touch light? Light cannot be touched by a human being. We don't have the koyach to touch. We can sense it, but we maybe under a microscope there is something or whatever. There is something to something physical, the rays. But halacha lemaisa, we have no sensation of actually touching light. The second is reyach, fragrance. Fragrance is more physical than light. Fragrance, and then you can smell. If you can smell it, it means there are particles in the air which have substance, and that's why our nose was sensitive to its smell. And the third is something that's tangible, a stone, something that you could actually touch. So there are three madrigals of beauty: something that's abstract, or something which is more physical, fragrance, and the third form of beauty is the Keren Apoch, stone, beautiful stone, which is something which is physical. And
which one is the best?
Which one is the best? I guess it's relative. I guess it's relative.
The one you can touch.
What? The one you can touch, that is possibly, I don't know. Okay, now the Rav Schwab, he has this, I don't remember all the details, but he has a whole series of interpretation of different Ma'amar Chazal ideas of why dafka these three. Some say this pasuk alludes to everything here really is a mashal for Eev himself, that Eev at the end of his life, his inner beauty, his neshama became beautiful. And these three expressions refer to the three primary names of the neshama: the nefesh, the neshama, and the ruach. Okay, every soul has three components. We don't really understand, at least I don't understand how you break up these concepts. Vayipach ba'ap of nishmas chayim, a neshama is called a ruach, a neshama. So each one of these things alludes to a different dimension of a person's soul. And Eev, at the end of his life, when it talks about his daughters, a daughter representing the sons, it represents the extension of his being. A child represents a person's mokoim, impact upon this world. His children go out and accomplish things in his way, and his daughters represent his nidos, and it's referring to his neshama and his guf. His guf are his 14 or 7 sons, and his neshama was a beautiful neshama, the nefesh, the ruach, the nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama. Now, even though it's not only five, there are more than three names. There are really five names. There's Yechida, and what else? I forgot the last one. Yechida, and I don't remember. Rabbi Kahn Shul, they have
by the Amud,
yes, five neros, five neros, and the five neros correspond to the five ki ner lekim nishmas adam, and each one of the neros corresponds to one of the name parts of the neshama. So there are five names to the neshama, but here we're focusing on this idea. There are three names to the neshama. Rav Schwab also says that in beauty, he interprets these things in reference to the beauty. To forms of beauty that a person goes through in their life. When a person is young, you don't need makeup. A person does not need cosmetics. A person has a natural beauty. And that is the first, it's Mir Yamima. A child is born, a child reaches a certain age, when they're young, you don't need makeup. There's a natural beauty, Yamima, like the light of the day. A person gets a little bit older, then you need Kitsia. Kitsia means fragrances. Fragrances, these ancient types of fragrances, it wasn't just a fragrance. It also enhanced the person's appearance. And then, as the person gets older, you gotta go to the beauty attician. You have to really lay it on thick. And that is the Keren Hapuch. The Karen Apoch means, yes, actual substance, a stone. They would take stones, they would crush stones, and they would apply the powder of these stones to their flesh in order to give it beauty. Different shrubses. I'm not making this up. Different stages in a person's life of different degrees of beauty. Natural beauty, medium, middle age, and then a later point where there's a need for more beauty. Okay, that... Why not? Okay. Hashem Ashlish is Karen Hapuch. Okay, now Pasik Tezvav says, V'lo nimsa noshim yafois kibnoisiyah b'chol aretz. It was not to be found beautiful women like those of Yiyah b'chol aretz. Vayitein lohem avihem nachla b'soch achayhem ashayi. He gave them a nachla amongst their brothers. This was unheard of at the time. Ancient times, a woman was a piece of property. A woman had no standing in society. Second class, third class, fourth class citizen, a woman had no standing. Exactly. And what?
That's Keneged Halacha.
Keneged Halacha, right? You don't get, so now in a Chanami, you're right. You're making a very good point. He's giving a Nachla, Shlok Halacha.
So,
only when there are no sons, but no slavkan. But when there are sons, b'makayim bein ein habas kum, she gets zero. So first of all, was he Jewish? Was he not Jewish? Let's say matanam echam. You want to give matanam echam? You can do that. You give matanam echayim, the living will. Okay, all these different things, but it is something which is interesting. Now this is interesting that there are many commentators that interpret the whole Eov as a mashal, and they interpret Eov as in the greater picture, as the nefesh of Klal Yisrael, as history, is that Klal Yisrael throughout history suffers. Okay, there are many malachim. We touched upon some of these things, but some learn that again, that the Eov represents Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael suffered like no other nation throughout Golus. Terrible forms of suffering, as the beginning of the Sefer describes, the loss of wealth, the loss of his assets, the loss of his children, and then over history, we've been tormented. So these three friends of Eliphaz, Bilvel, and Sofar, they weren't really coming to comfort. They were coming to torment Eov, as indeed they did. They made believe they were giving comfort. The truth was they were tormenting by giving him, oh, you're a sinner. The reason why you're suffering is because you deserve it. You did this sin, you did that sin, you make believe you're a tzaddik, you're not really a tzaddik. That's really what the nations of the world, they were jealous of what he had originally, or they're jealous of how he was able to persevere, to deal with the tzaris. That what you're saying that he's got okay, but some learn that this is a marshal for Klal Yisrael, and the friends represent the Umos Olam, Golus Edoim, Golus Moda, Golus Yom Paras, as they torment us throughout history and tell us, Jews, you know why you suffer? You know why you've been exiled? You know why you suffer? Because you deserve to suffer, because you're evil people. Until finally HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes. First comes Elihu. Elihu is Miram is on Elio. Hine Enoch Yishlechuchem Eis Elio HaNavi Lifnei Bo Yoyim Hashem HaGodol V'HaNoira. Elihu comes, and Elihu begins to be Mechazek Eov. That represents, and Eov is receptive to the comfort of Elihu. That represents Eliyahu coming to Mechazek Klal Yisrael before Lifnei Yoyim Bo Hashem HaGodol VeHanora. Hashem comes, and Hashem gives Eov the ultimate comfort. And now, when it describes here the incredible success, it represents Achris Hayamim, the end of days, time of Mashiach, the time of Olam Haba. And here it says something which is very consistent with other Mamorei Chazal, that women will have equal rights. This is, okay, I don't have all the Mamorei Chazal. But
what you're saying, yeah. Now you don't get equal rights, and Olam Haba you get equal rights.
That, and this is something which we're living in the times of Mashiach, and this is a trend that is 100% true in the civilized world, if you can call it civilized, okay, in the modern world, and it definitely has left its mark among the Charedim, among Acheinu B'nei Yisrael, is that women, you cannot deny the fact that women today in this century have been given, have been given stature, that they have never given, they have never been given. It's a matter of fact. And in fact, all of the geulos that have almost come came through women. Esther, Purim came through Esther and Malka.
Moshe came from Miriam.
No, but I'm talking about people that are actively involved in the bring of the Geula. So this alludes to, if you want to take Sefer and learn the whole thing as a mashal, for the nefesh of Klal Yisrael who has suffered, and then who has been tormented by the Umos HaOlam, and then has been comforted by Eliyahu Lifnei Boyayim Hashem, and by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now finally comes Melech HaMashiach, and we have here his restoration. Part of the restoration is that his daughters are treated equally. Just to remind my Chazal that there's a medrash that says that Chava was meant to be an equal to Adam. Only reason why she was lowered, women throughout history have been lowered too, a second-class citizen, is because of the Chet Eitz Hadas. The Chet Eitz Hadas, she was cursed. Part of the curse was that you're going to be subordinate. V'al ish sheikh to shuk ha-seikh. You're going to be a subordinate to your husband. That's the way it is. But we're Mashiach v'hu yimshalbach. That's the way it is. That's the story of history. You can't deny the facts. But when Mashiach comes and the chet of the Eitz Hadas is forgiven, has been rectified, then Chava is restored to her original state. Now what that means is scary. We don't know what that means exactly. We don't know what that means exactly, but it is hinted to, it is alluded to here in this pasuk. It's alluded to in this pasuk of Lord Nimsa Nashim Yafais Kivnais Iyah Bukhalaretz Vayitain Lohem Avihem. Notice it says Lohem Beloshon Zohar. Lohem, masculine. They're upgraded to the status of a nail. Lohem, avihem, nachala, besoch, achayhem, amongst their brethren. Let's take a look at the Mitzvot Pasuk Tezvav. Acharei zos. And due to their importance, the yafyon and their beauty, they were given a nachla b'soch achayhem. Rashi pasuk tezvav v'loy nimtza. I skipped. I didn't do pasuk. Let's go back to pasuk yudalit. Vayikra l'shem achas himal shem yafyasa nikra shemoy sehen yemima tzacha umiluvna. She is clear and maluvin, pure, like the day of light. Kitsia, maluvin is also his white, white complexion, like the day of light. Kitsia, recha noidef, fragrance. Orev, umivusum, sweet and pleasant smelling. Kitsia shel basam, like this kitsia, a flower of a basam, name of a spice. Keren apuch, what is that? Al shem hakeren shenaisten bo. It's because Rashi is the Gumitsuda said it's the name of a stone. Here he's saying it's the name of a container. A keren means a container. In ancient times they would take bone, cartilage, and they would use that as a container for different types of spices or different types of ingredients. So the keren hapuch means the container which held the cosmetics for women. Al shem hakeren, the container shenaisten bo kichol, they would hold, contain eye makeup. Uboiris, boiris is some type of face makeup, be applied to the cheeks. Shenemar vatikri bapuche naich, and you in Yirmiyah that you apply something to do with eye makeup, that you apply eye makeup to your eyes. So it means here the keren, that's what it refers to, the keren which was overturned. You would extract the ingredients from this container to apply to your face. Pasuk tezav lo nimsa yinashim yafas kibnais iyof lo nimsa maase shal nasim yafas. Now here Rashi says, well, I'm not clear what this means exactly. Rashi is with maase. It was not found maase shal nashim yafas kimaase yoifi shal benos iyof. Now what does it mean by maase? The way they actually beautify themselves? Does this in Rashi mean that they were not naturally beautiful, and the things that they did, the mass in their deeds, their good deeds, we refer Rashi alluding to a medrash that their good deeds, or means that their technique, their technique. They have some secret beauty technique. Don't you ever see advertisements on the train, on the bus, all the secret beauty techniques? All the secret cosmetic techniques to use. There was an action taking place. That word tameim here means they were women that did things to beautify themselves. There is an action. It just doesn't just mean it's a description, not an adjective. There's a description here. There is an action. It's a verb. There are women who did things. These women, they did things to beautify themselves, and the result was something exceptional that cannot be found. The parallel cannot be found throughout the entire world. Something I believe along those lines. Due to their importance and their beauty, together with their brothers. Pasuk Tes Zayin, Vayichi Iyov Achare Zos, Meya V'arboim Shana, 140 years. So he lived a grand total of how many years? 210 years. 70 years before the incident, before he became ill, and then another 210 years. Vayira, he saw Esbonov, the Esbenevonov, Arboha Doros, he saw children and grandchildren, four generations. Now 210 years is not, if you live 140 years, that's not, depending on the machlokes between Rashi and the Ramban, does it refer to his original children, does it refer to new children, but it's not, that's not, it's not a, Rav Schwab, he just brings up the question, it's not a novelty to see four generations in 210 years or even in 140 years. What?
Four generations.
210.
He was 210.
210. 70 plus 140.
He lives another
40 years.
Another 140 years. So
he's saying, you're
making a good point. He's saying, if you learn like Rash that he had new children, with whom did he have new children? With his original wife, or did he have a new wife? Could his first wife have children at this point in time? Because she was already at least 70 years old, probably more like 90 years old.
And she had told him, why don't you shoot yourself?
Well, that's normal in marriage, no? I met someone on Shabbos. He said to me, he was talking about it, getting married, so Shaduch, and he told me that he had a very hard time finding a shidduch. He got married when he was much older than the average person. So I said to him, I don't know why, I just said, how's it going now? So he says to me, he says, at first it was very rough, but now the thoughts that I'm getting divorced are less frequent. That's how he described his marriage.
You should get friends.
And he said it very seriously. He wasn't joking. He says it's mamish war. You don't understand. It's war. Marriage is war. Lately, it's been better. It's definitely been, as time passed, it's been better. The thoughts of getting divorced, that I will be getting divorced, are less frequent.
Yeah. So I asked him why he drank so much, and how does he know when to stop? He said he drinks just enough so he can make it home but pass out before his wife starts to scream.
Okay, so I don't know. Rabbi Schwab, he asked a question. He does not have an answer. He asked a question. What is the pasuk telling us that he saw four generations? That's not a remarkable thing if you live for 210 years. You would expect you would see many more than four generations. People living 70 years old, 80 years, you can see four generations. So what does it mean here? He doesn't have an answer to this question.
You still have to appreciate those days.
They got married
much later on. Yosef saw Bnei Ribeim. Bnei Shleishim Ribeim, whatever it says in the Pasuk. He also saw many generations.
The point is, you shouldn't take it for granted. Everything that Hashem gives you, you should appreciate. So even though he lived 210 years, he saw his four generations.
So he's saying a very deep idea is that he's telling you, Moser Haskel, don't take anything for granted. Right. Even though it's something that is natural for a person to live that long to see four generations, no, Hashem gave him the bracha. And it's something that should be appreciated. initiated. Very good. Okay, that's a very profound idea.
B'nai
Brana.
What? At that age, you have cataracts.
Well, that's right. That's what the next pasuk really says. Vayamos Iov Zokain Usvayamim. He died in old age. Usvayamim, and he was satiated. He enjoyed. There was nothing more that he wanted out of life. Let's take a look at the mitzudos. The mitzudos these last two psukim. Acharei Zos, Pasik Tezayin says he lived Acharei Zos, referring back to the Yisurim. After he had the Yisurim, Acharei Shalchum Mimenu HaYisurim, the Yisurim left him. Now, again, we mentioned this before, just to repeat, it does not say that his health was restored. It doesn't say that. And in fact, from the simile, it says that his wealth was restored, his children were restored, but does not say that his health. All it says is that it was tolerable. The pain was tolerable. He was on painkillers. Because we learned back in the beginning of the Sefer, he said multiple times, I am at a point where it is impossible, al derech hateva, for my health to be restored. My flesh has fallen off my bones. There is no flesh. What, a miracle is going to happen? I'm going to grow new flesh? It's not going to happen. Just a matter of time until I die. It does not say anywhere that his physical body, his physical health was restored. It just says that the pain, the yisurim, the ability to deal with the suffering went away. And after that went away, he was able to live for another 140 years. Vayiri sor rab ein of arba doros mibanov, from his children. That would mean five generations, maybe, from his children. Four generations from his children. That's seemingly how the Mitzvah learns. Four generations from his children. None of his children died during his lifetime. With great blessing, ad shahoya shevam sovea mehem, he was satisfied. Due to the abundance of blessing, shayaloy behem. When you lead to this next expression, Rashi pasuk. Yudzayin usvayim. Rashi just wants to put another word, usva. It's a shva. It's not the usual way. You normally it would be savea. With it would be with a komatz. Savea posechas yedecho umasbia. Umasbia l'chol. The way the word over here is used here. It's not the usual way it's used. So he just points out it is the usual way, because since it's samuch to the word yamim usvayamim. So you don't say, you don't use the word savea. You don't say the word sevia. You say the word usva. That's the proper way the word should be used when the word sevah is connected to the word yamim. Min sheva min sovea. It means a form of satisfaction. Ye omar, we say it seva bidvekos when it's attached to the last word. Okay, so this concludes the Sefer. Quite an accomplishment. Baruch Hashem. Shvach l'chai ha'olim. We give shvach to Kol Shparuchu for giving us the opportunity to be Messiah in the Sefer. And Yiratz Hashem, we will make a siyum. Dr. Friedman is here. He was not out. I think the best thing would be next Friday, if we can. A week from this Friday. Is anyone have any conflicts?
No, it's good because this Friday.
This Friday is not a good Friday. Next Friday. And Yiratz Hashem, next Friday, we'll like to plan a siyum. And you definitely invite your wives and any guests you want to bring. It will be a very great honor. Wife and guest. Don't get any ideas here. So Yiratz Hashem, that's the plan. Next Friday, and we'll Yiratz Hashem, tomorrow we will begin Sefer Mishlei. They're right next to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir already has taken a hold of all the Sefer Mishlei right next to him. They're all there, all ready to go. And
so why don't we start the first pasuk now?
So say the first pasuk. Mishlei, Shlomo ben David. Ben 3.
What does the word Mishlei mean?
What does the word Mishlei mean? Mishlei Shloimoi Ben David Melech Yisrael. Shlomo here is described with three titles. He's Shlomo, his own name. Then David, the name of his father, he's the son of his father, and Melech Yisrael, he was the king of Klal Yisrael. Just to tell you one, Mamar Chazal tell us that a person has three names. The name that your parents give you, when you're born at a bris milah. There is the name that you make for yourself, or I should say the name that you're called by others. Okay, that's name number two, what people call you, and the name you make for yourself. A person is viewed in this world in three different dimensions. What the she'ifos your parents have for you, what people, how people see you, and what you make out of yourself. That idea is hinted to here in the opening pasuk of Mishlei. He's Shlomo, Hamelech Shahashalom. So this was his own name, the name that he made for himself. Then David, he was also a child. David Hamelech had for him aspirations. David wanted to, things should come from his child, and he was the Melech Yisrael. People viewed him. He asked the average citizen in Klal Yisrael, "What do you think of the king? How is he doing? How am I like Kach? He used to ask everyone, "How am I doing?" What people look. That is alluded to here in the very first pasuk. The author, the name of the sefer begins with the Lechaber. Now, some people today have a tendency to write anonymous svarim. Big problem today, the major criticism today with the blogs and with letters to editors, when you write a letter to an editor in all the newspapers is anonymity. Anonymity. You hide behind, you're a coward. Anyone who writes a letter and does not want to put his name to it, it really takes away the whole punch of the letter. Anyone can be anonymous. You want to write a blog and you don't want to be held accountable? You want to shoot from the hip? Anyone can do that. If you really have something important to say, you have to put your name on it. You can't write a sefer. Svarim that have been written, there have been some that were accepted, even though the name of the Lechaber is anonymous. But that's not a mahalach. And the Mefarshim, the Poskim, the Balei Musar, they tell us the makar for this is Mishlei. Mishlei, Shlomo HaMelech, the Chacham, we call Adam, the first thing he says, you want to write a book teaching people some Musar, teaching people you have something to say, you want to write a letter to the editor, the first thing is, who's writing this? Mishlei, I'm not afraid. I'll tell you my whole name, I'll tell you where I come from, I'll tell you what I do for a living. My name is Shlomo, my father is Ben David, and I'm a king, I'm a politician. This is what I do for a living, I'm a melech. What?
One piece of every book,
yes.
The name of the sefer, who the author is.
Right, I'm telling you that unfortunately we live in a generation that has never been a precedent for this of people hiding behind anonymity. This is a new thing that is unique to this generation. This Koheles ben David. Melech Koheles ben David. Melech. His name was also Koheles. He called himself Koheles. Koheles ben David. Melech v'Yushloim. Koheles was another name. Is another name for Shlomo. It's another. It's an identity. So that itself is worth the whole sefer. That lesson. Not to hide.
Beautiful.